You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
And you said the word efficient. I kind of made jokes when people talked about grinding. I said, no, you're not a grinder. You're just poor with time management. You're not efficient. It's taking you 3 hours to do what it takes someone else an hour to do. That's not grinding. That's being poor with your organization and your time management.
This week on Culture OS, we're joined by Tony Schiffman, who a lot of people know from the Hog Football Chat. He's been on the podcast before, and we specifically talked about that and his networking in the profession, but he's now in an opportunity to lead a program and I think bring some unique perspective to this as well. So, Rob, tell us a little bit about what we're going to hear from Coach Schiffman.
Well, when Pony and I sat down, we started with his journey as a coach because I think there's always something that we take away from our previous stops. And Tony's been at the collegiate level and now taking over the helm as a head football coach in Wisconsin. So we start there, and he does a great job of talking about the things he learned at the collegiate level and how that's going to affect the program building of what he does. He also discusses a few great items about taking over a program that's had previous success. And then Tony was very vulnerable and allowed us to dive into some of the hurdles that he's facing being a new coach that is not in the building and how to stay connected to your players through that time. So it's just a really great discussion on what we can do when we take over a program. How are we going to get our mission, vision, and purpose interjected into that program? And then even looking at some of the harder things, the harder conversations when you're starting a program or taking over one like Tony is.
And I'll be back with Rob at the end of this interview. So here's his interview on Culture OS with Anthony Schiffman. What you see on tape is a direct reflection of what you teach and how you teach. Video is important, but if you don't teach well, you're not going to like what you see on your video. First Down Playbook has been helping coaches teach better for 13 years. It allows you to present installs, playbooks, and practice cards in half the time with NFL quality. Coaching tools like video pairing, a player app, practice schedules, and wristband sheets have made First Down Playbook a program management system with everything in one place. If you're in a position of leadership with your football program, receive a free one-week look at First Down Playbook. Call them at 512-814-6158 or visit them on their website or social media. Mention Coach and Coordinator Podcast or use the coupon code COACH24 to receive a $100 discount off the normal $700 First Down Playbook team membership price. Links and the phone number are in the show notes. As coaches, we know that some of the biggest hurdles to our team's success can come from off the field. Your team needs support to tackle the endless list of expenses, uniforms, training equipment, travel, and more. But raising that money can feel like a full-time job. Thankfully, there's Vertical Raise. Vertical Raise is the premier online fundraising platform using innovative technology to create the easiest and most efficient system available. Raise more money in less time with a local fundraising coach who works with your team every step of the way to customize the ideal fundraiser. With options for online donations, digital discount cards, premium product sales, and even spirit shops, Vertical Raise has top-of-the-line solutions for every fundraising style. To find out more, visit verticalraise.com and we'll get you connected with an exclusive offer on your first fundraiser.
I want to thank my guest today, head coach Tony Schiffman of Waterford High School in Waterford, Wisconsin. You may also know Tony as the curator of Hog Football Chat and one of the best offensive line coaches out there in the United States. Tony, really want to thank you for joining us on Culture OS. Appreciate your time today.
Absolutely. Love being able to talk our program and talk about our kids. So thank you for having me.
Just to catch everybody up, you've been at the college level, you've been at the high school level, you're back as a head coach now, and it's exciting times to be in Waterford, I'm sure. But as a personal coach, what is your personal mission, vision, and purpose when you're looking to take over a program like Waterford?
You want to connect with kids. You want to build relationships first, and you want to make sure that those kids understand that you have their best interests at heart. And you know, when it all gets down to it, when you kind of boil it down and get down to the real nitty gritty of it, we want to make great young men. We want to send our boys, and you know, we had a couple female managers this year too, so I'm going to include them in that. We want to send our students off to being great people in life. You know, I was just having a conversation with a young man yesterday about football, and I told him I don't really care what you do out there. I care about what you do here and in your future. And so that's been sort of a lesson that's been instilled in me since day one is just making sure that we're creating great human beings and great people. And you know, if we can do that and we can get that day to day out of them and get that mindset out of them, the on the field stuff's going to be easy, in my opinion. So that's the real big thing for me, you know, kind of away from football, is just making sure that they're growing up to be, you know, people of high character and people that stay in their community and people that are proud of what they've done in their community, whether it's on the field or off the field. And those are kind of the real big pieces for me in regards to all of that. So, you know, I know that's kind of a long-winded answer for it, but you know, like I said, when you kind of boil it down, it's just making sure that they're doing right and that they're becoming good people.
I don't think it's long-winded at all. I just, as a head football coach, it seems it's always central to what we're doing on the field and off the field. And I remember back my first meeting with my players 13 years ago and how nervous I was and how much self-doubt there was and the message that came across. I can't remember exactly what I said. I pretty much blacked it out. But take me through how's that onboarding process been going, that initial meeting, and what have you guys been doing to build that rapport since you took over?
It's been really great. You know, it was, you know, Waterford's a community that's had some success, that, you know, we went through a coaching change, but they've had success and the kids were, and I don't want this to come off the wrong way. I don't want to speak poorly about anybody, but they were sort of chomping at the bit for different leadership. I shouldn't say new leadership. I should say different leadership. So, you know, they took to it great. We had a ton of success year one that we might not have had. We were able to up our numbers from 60 in the program to, you know, in the mid 80s. So we were able to do some different things that just we hadn't done as a program in a while. And like I said, the buy-in was quick. There were a few hiccups along the way, which anybody will have. You take over any program anywhere in America, there's going to be some hiccups. And you know, I can remember day one of our first sort of camp. We have, you know, one of our, in the state of Illinois, obviously you guys have 25 contact days. In Wisconsin, we have 5. So I remember day one of our first contact day and just kind of looking around and wondering how it was going to come. And then, you know, fast forward to the last week of practice and everything just came along without us really even realizing it. And then, you know, we kind of sat back as coaches after the fact and reflected on it and really were amazed and proud of our kids for the amount of buy-in that we did have. You know, we came in, changed the offense completely, changed the defense completely, changed special teams completely. And we could have had every single kid in that program that question why and what we were doing, and they never did. They believed in us as coaches, what we were telling them was going to happen, what we were telling them was going to work. Like I said, they bought into it. So I was proud of the kids, proud of our assistant coaches, proud of our whole staff, proud of the entire community for the amount of excitement and passion that we had from everybody when this change happened. So that was the easy part. Every coach has their walkthrough day, right? Like the Thursday walkthrough where you go through your script, you get all that stuff done. And usually 9 times out of 10, that day takes twice as long as it should. Our kids, by the time we got to that first day of getting ready on that Thursday, we got done with about, you know, about 5 or 10 minutes extra instead of 30 or 40 minutes extra. So that was, to me, I kind of sat there and was like, oh, wow, they're getting it. Like it's making sense to them. It's clicking to them and they're getting it. So those little things that kind of sometimes coaches don't really pay attention to or don't put a lot of emphasis on, those little things were the stuff that I was noticing that, hey, this is working and these guys are excited about what we're doing.
It's such a great level of thought going into your program development, which is, I think, one of the missing points, or not the missing points, but often overlooked, about how much forethought has to go into developing every system of the program. And when you're talking about changing offense, changing defense, and that the collateral damage that creates, that must have been a tremendous level of buy-in your players had. And so I go back to what you originally said, was they were looking for a change in type of leadership. What type of leadership do you bring to your players, your parents, your staff? What do you feel like your calling card is?
I'm probably a little too laid back, honestly. I'm probably a little bit too much of an open door sometimes. I like to have fun with the game. I like to have fun with the kids. I like to make sure that they understand that it's a game, that we're having fun. So, you know, I guess if you want to call me a player's coach, you can call me a player's coach. But, you know, they also know that there's times for fun and there's times for work, and they know the difference. They know when it's time to have fun, when it's time to work. So that to me is kind of how I've always been, whether it's as a position coach or a coordinator or a head coach, is just, hey, let's have fun. Let's enjoy what we're doing. You know, let's go out there and have some success and win some games and continue to have fun. And let's not make it, especially right now at the high school level, let's not make it a business. Our livelihoods are not dependent on what's going on. So let's not have the pressure that we might put on ourselves while we're doing this. You know, as you well know, young men and women ages 14 to 18 have enough pressure on their own without having to worry about a drill sergeant of a head coach or a drill sergeant of a situation being thrown at them. So, you know, try to have fun, try to make sure that they understand that there's time for work and there's time to have a little bit of play, and knowing kind of where that line is and when not to cross it. That's kind of how I am as a coach, and that's how I've always been. And I don't want to change it. I'm not going to change it. I feel like if I change it, then I'm forcing it. And when you force something like that, kids can see it and then they understand and they know that you're kind of being a BSer. And I don't want that. I want my kids and coaches and everybody to know that I'm open and honest with them. And you know, if there's a problem, I'll tell them and then we'll fix it and move on. So, you know, I don't want to skirt around things or hide from any of those situations. So making sure we're having fun, making sure we're enjoying what we're doing and making sure that we're going out there and putting a good product on the field too.
Yeah, I think it's so important to stay authentic to yourself first and foremost as a coach, because you know when you're faking it, the kids know when you're faking it, and then nobody's really getting a whole lot out of it. And I think that's one of the things I can appreciate about what you said, is making sure that it's not life or death out there. And oftentimes I talk to my staff about, you know, this is our profession. This is most of their hobbies. Maybe a handful of them are looking to make this something they do in college. So it's always good to keep that in perspective. And I think it's great that you kind of get that out there and lead with that with your kids. I'm sure the parents appreciate it as well as the players.
And again, it's important that they know that they know that they can talk to me about those things, players or parents, if there are issues. And we had, I don't even know if we had any parent issues this year, really. You know, never had to pull a parent aside to talk about anything, or never had that email or that phone call about anything. So, you know, we've got a good group that know kind of where that boundary is and not to cross into it.
Well, I will keep lighting a candle at my local church to make sure that you don't get those phone calls or emails.
Thanks.
But one of the things that, you know, obviously we're in the middle of the off season here, and I'm just curious as to, you know, what are you doing from a program standpoint? The program reinvents itself yearly. What are you guys currently doing right now to build those beliefs and standards and values within your program?
You know, a lot of that is just, again, kind of making sure that they're doing right in school. You know, we've got a very cool situation. You know, we're a smaller school. We've got, I want to say we had 61 or 62 kids returning. So taking out the seniors from last year, not counting the kids that recruiting the hallway, that old adage. But I think we had 61 or 62 kids, and I think 39 or 40 of them are in a winter sport. So we've only got 20 kids that are kind of in that quote unquote off-season lifting program right now. We don't have a real true athletic PE period at our school for, you know, sports specific. So we've got to kind of get our lifting in when we can, and that's after school or with their other programs. So we've got some kids that are in basketball and they get their lifts in when they can. We've got some kids in powerlifting who obviously get their lifts in when they can. It's a different lift than what we're doing as a football team, but it's still lifting. And then we've got a bunch of kids in wrestling who, to me, is one of the most important off-season things they can do. So as a person in the school, you know, again, we're in a unique situation where I'm in the school when I can be. I'm a substitute teacher right now, so I'm in the school when I can be. And then we've got another coach who's in the building. So we try to keep in touch with them as much as we can. We try to communicate with them as much as we can. You know, I try to, you know, talk to them when I see them, ask them how their sport's doing, ask them how school's doing, making sure they understand, again, that I see them as much more than just a football player. And then just letting them know kind of what we're doing and what our plans are. I started a leadership council last spring when I was there. So I meet with those kids about once or twice a month when I can. And kind of get the heartbeat, the pulse of the team through them. And then again, forwarding those messages on. So, you know, we don't do probably as much football stuff as we could or should, but we're still getting our work in and we're still doing all the things that we need to be doing in regards to just, again, like I said at the start of this, being good people and making sure that we're taking care of our business off the field when it's, you know, when it's that time.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I think when you have a school that's sharing so many athletes, it's one of those things that you just have to be, you have to be okay with. And it's great that kids are multi-sport and they get a break from you as the head coach. They get an opportunity to go get coached by somebody else. And then, you know, you kind of keep everything rolling when you get them back. What are you doing away from the kids? You know, you're going into that second season. What are you doing away from the kids right now in preparation for your journey as the head coach? I think we always talk about the kids' journey and what they're going to be doing, but how are you getting yourself ready for this next season coming up?
You know, off the field, sort of reflecting on things, you know, situations that happened during last year that I could have been better at, or things that I could have handled better, or things that our staff could have handled better, figuring out how I can do better at those things, having conversations with our assistants, And you know, talking about what we can do off the field in regards to that leadership piece and in regards to that, you know, learning piece. And then, you know, the football side of things, you know, obviously kind of rewatching some film and seeing what worked, what didn't work, what didn't work, and just trying to kind of adapt to the game, the ever-changing game we're a part of. So, you know, the biggest piece is just kind of looking at talking to some of those kids who maybe felt like they were on the outskirts or felt like they didn't have a good time, and finding out why, finding out what they, you know, what they want to improve on, finding out what that we can do better at as a staff. And just, again, making sure that everyone's kind of on the same page when it gets to be that time. You know, I was talking to one of our upcoming seniors about that. And basically, you know, it's February right now. He's going to go to sleep soon and wake up, and it's going to be June, July, and it's going to be like a snap of his fingers. So making sure those guys are ready to go, and making sure that, again, I know I keep saying that like a broken record, making sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing off the field.
The alignment of all those arrows with the players and the parents and the staff, is certainly something that that can help you keep smoother waters ahead. How are you maintaining that program alignment with parents and staff? What are some of the things that you're bringing in that are keeping everybody kind of in the know on what the program direction is going to be and what some of the next steps are for this second season?
Yeah, so we've got a great football family group. So they meet once a month. So I try to go to that as much as I can. You know, obviously I'm not able to get to every single one, but again, the communication's great. So they're letting me know kind of what's happening through them. I'm letting them know what's happened through us. So that's been great. And then as coaches, we just try to communicate as much as we can. Like I said, we've got a couple that are in the building. We've got one guy that's in the building full time. We've got a couple more that are around so we can communicate. We're going to a Glazer clinic this weekend. So that's going to be great to kind of get away and talk about some things. Once we get back from that, there's towards the end of March is when we'll really start kind of hammering things out. We're doing a coaching clinic kind of through the community where we're going to have all of our youth coaches come in and we're going to present some stuff to them. And then we'll go to our state clinic and really start getting things down. And then, my plan is to have, I want to have our calendar set for the summer by the middle of March at the latest. So just making sure that again, we've got, ironically tomorrow, we've got an open house for incoming freshmen. So that's going to be good. We'll start kind of seeing some kids and they've been coming in the lifting twice a week. So we'll get to start putting, I'm big on names. I've got one of those stupid brains where I can remember every kid's name that I've ever coached, but I can't remember, what I had for breakfast yesterday. So starting to put faces to names or names to faces and getting all that stuff done. And then just again, like I said, making sure that the parents are staying up to date with everything and keeping communication with them. That's huge. That was some of the complaints I heard last year at this time when I was going through their interview process was, there's just no communication. And so that was, to me, coming from the college level, that was dumbfounding to me. That was the biggest part of half of our success was from communication and organization. So making sure that they understand that and keeping on top of that and keeping on task with letting them know kind of what's going on with everything.
I think you touched on a lot of great points there, just so those who are listening, just to kind of rehash it. Like, I love the fact you talked about bringing in your middle school kids into lift. It's such an important part to start to get that ball rolling, to tether those kids in so that they start to feel the energy that you're creating in the program. And then from a parent standpoint, communication, it's like the missing link sometimes. And I just had a parent meeting with my three parent leaders, and I write a newsletter. I have a Remind app, and then we send a MailChimp email. And it was almost like it was too much. Like you always have to make sure that there's that fine line, but the parents have to be in the know because you're talking about 14 and 15 year old kids who will forget their head if it's not attached to them, and tethering them into it gives them so much ownership of what's going on. You also kind of hit on what you said, the word, complaint, but I have a twofold question here. And I send you the questions early on and I want to dive into this one. Every coach is going to face hurdles. There's going to be adversity. As a new head coach, sometimes that adversity comes from different directions. But the first one I want to start with is the one that I think a lot of coaches have to deal with, is that work family relationship. I don't say balance because I just don't know if that's achievable. Take me through how you're navigating those waters.
Well, so to understand that, you've got to understand my past a little bit, in my 2020 season where I was driving an hour and a half one way to coach, and I had just had a newborn in April of that year, and a job that I was hoping on fell through, and I had to kind of scramble last minute, and I ended up taking another job, and so I was driving. Like I said, I did the math, and I've told a couple people this, from like June 1 to November, middle of November, November 14th, I think I put like 19,000 miles on my car. And so that was tough. Those were getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning and not getting home till 8 o'clock at night days. And it was tough when we were let go. You know, I remember sitting and talking with my wife and just saying, you know, this was not good. This was hard. We made it work, but this was not ideal. Let's never have to be in this kind of situation again. So now, you know, my commute's 20 minutes. You know, I'm home for dinner every night, obviously, except for, you know, Friday nights in the season, but home for dinner every night. And, you know, it's just a much healthier environment situation. You know, my wife and baby are able to come to every game, home or away. I think she missed maybe one game this year just because we were a little bit further away than she would have hoped. But, you know, they're able to make it everywhere. I'm able to see them after the game. And then that was good. And I'm not, again, kind of touching what I talked about a little bit. We're high school football coaches. There's no need for us to be in the office on a Saturday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. There's no need for us to be in the office on a Sunday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. It's not necessary. Saturdays I gave to coaches that, you know, that's our day. We, you know, watch a little bit of film, get a little bit of work done, but I don't want to burden you with all these things. I don't want to keep you from your families because it's not necessary, you know. And I'm sure there are people listening to this that are shaking their head and saying, well, that's why you're not successful, or that's why you don't have 15 state titles or whatever. Well, fine, whatever. If that's what it takes to have 15 state titles, I don't want them. So, you know, making sure that there is that healthy balance, like you said, of football and family. And so, you know, it was those were those things. Those were those kind of situations that, looking on it as when I got the job of, hey, maybe in the past I've had practice on Saturdays. We're not going to do that. We're going to come in. You know, we came in on. So we basically from, you know, Friday night at 10 o'clock game ends, we're done. I don't see them until Sunday. And I think we'd come in at, coaches would come in 4 to 5, and then the kids would come in from essentially 5 to 6 on Sunday. And then that's it. And then we're done with the week. Monday, it's start over for the new week. So a lot of it is on the coaches themselves, the individual coaches, to kind of watch their film and break it down and grade and do all that kind of stuff. But again, if your management, time management skills are good, and you're not, you know, you understand what you're doing, that doesn't take you a long time. It's not a difficult thing to do. So, you know, kind of putting it on them a little bit, you know, to be responsible, just like we asked the kids. But I don't want to see them. You know, there's text messages throughout the day. There's a few phone calls here and there. But when we come back in on Sunday, you know, now it's time to kind of finish up that week, and then we'll move on. So there's got to be that balance, because again, a lot of, you know, we've got a lot of coaches with children, a lot of coaches with wives who want to see them throughout the week and weekend. So that's important to me, and I know that's important to a lot of the guys that we have on staff too.
Absolutely. I think it all comes down to, what is your definition of success, right? Like, is it 15 state championships, or is it establishing good people on and off the field and having a healthy relationship at home as well with your kids and your significant other?
Derek Leonard at Rochester.
Yeah.
I know for a fact Derek is not one of those grind it 20 hours a day guys. He's not.
No.
And so, you know, and he's got 9 state titles right now. He just won his 9th. So there's guys out there doing it the right way, with the right kind of balance and having success. And that's just, those are those guys that I strive to be like. That's not, I'm not that other way. I'm not the guy that's going to, like I said, I even hate the word grind. I think I've talked about it a couple of times on social media. It's the actual definition of grind is to wear something down until there's nothing left. And that's what these coaches take, you know, quote unquote, they take pride in that. And that to me is ridiculous.
That I appreciate you telling everybody that story about your 2020 season, honestly, because I think it speaks to a lot of the questions that I have about, you know, when we coach, you can tell it's a passion for you. You can tell it's a calling for you. You wouldn't have gone through such a grueling schedule. But then it also, looking at it now, shows that the football coach can evolve. We don't have to stay the same. We can learn about what we like and what we don't like. And then when we become head coaches, we truly can create the program that we want to create for ourselves, our staff, our parents, and our players. We don't have to live in somebody else's mold. And I think a lot of coaches sometimes come in thinking it's got to be a certain way. Maybe somebody before me in that program ran it X, Y, and Z, and I've got to do it that way. But that's not the case. So I hope there's some coaches listening right now who who maybe are fighting their own evolution and where life has taken them from a family standpoint or what have you, and knowing that it's all right to make those changes. Because I'm a lot like you, Tony, where it's like, it used to be Saturday, Sunday, you know, we're in the office and we're working, I'm falling asleep at my computer, you know, and then nowadays it's got to be like lowest prescribed dose. Like, let's work efficiently, let's work smart. And when we're together, be present, but let's also make sure that we're keeping the main thing the main thing. And that needs to be more than just the left-hand column of the win and loss, you know? So I really appreciate you sharing that. You know, that's just such a great window into your philosophy.
Well, and you said the word efficient. I kind of made jokes when people talked about grinding. I said, no, you're not a grinder. You're just poor with time management. You're not efficient. It's taking you 3 hours to do what it takes someone else an hour to do. That's not grinding. That's being poor with your organization and your time management.
There's this study that says what your work will fill up the time that you give it, regardless of what the time frame is. You know, so if you're doing it for 4 hours, it'll take 4 hours. If you give yourself an hour and a half, you'll get it done in an hour and a half. We always talk about like the sculpture's underneath the marble. It's not on the outside. You got to trim it away to get to the best product by the end. Well, we're coming to the end here, and I always want to leave some coaches who are listening with maybe some advice from you. What advice do you have for anybody out there who maybe just took over a position, who's aspiring to take a position in the middle of the interview process? What can you lend them? You've been to college, you've been to high school. I think you have such a great perspective of football at many levels. What can you leave with them?
Yeah, so I actually have guys reach out to me all the time and ask me that same question. And I give them, you know, not word for word the same piece of advice, but pretty much the same piece of advice. I tell them, be yourself. And again, we talked about that today. Don't try to be anybody you're not. Be yourself and be confident in what you're talking about. It doesn't matter if you get out there. I tell the same thing to kids all the time. If I go out there and I tell a kid that the sky is green, but I'm confident in what I'm telling him, and I'm you know, I feel passionate about what I'm doing. I'm confident in what I'm telling him. You know, he'll buy in and believe it. So make sure that those are the two biggest things I always tell people. You know, it doesn't matter what your playbook looks like. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter any of that. If you go in there and you are yourself and you have confidence in what you're talking about, confidence in what you're presenting, confidence in what you're doing, you'll be successful sooner rather than later.
It's a great piece of advice. I think we'll leave it at authentic self. That's such a great piece for people to go away with. If you want to follow Tony, he's on Twitter at Coach Schiffman. You can also follow at Hog FB Chat, one of the best chats on X right now. And Tony, I can't thank you enough, and I wish Waterford the best of luck this coming year.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you having me, and same to you. Best of luck, and looking forward to chatting down the road.
Thanks, brother.
Rob, we always break down some ideas that everyone can use each week, our winning edge takeaways. So what do you have from your interview here with Coach Schiffman?
Tony did an amazing job of touching on the technical, tactical, and even the behind-the-scenes aspects of being a head football coach. My favorite part of the conversation was when we talked about the person over the player. It's near and dear to my heart. We always talk about the person underneath the mask, and Tony's going to build his program by getting to know his players, getting to know the person behind it, away from the field. I thought that was a very unique aspect. One of the best things that he talked about in any of the podcasts that I've done has been the authentic self. And many of the guys that we've talked to have discussed it, but Tony gave a great definition of the authentic self and how we have to stay true to our core beliefs as head coaches. There's going to be resistance. There's going to be hurdles. But at the end of the day, we have to lead authentically and lead with what we feel we believe in. And then he talked about, you know, staying connected when staying connected is hard. And we're a couple years out of COVID, so maybe some of us don't remember how difficult it was. But Tony's not in the building. He works as a part-time substitute, and talked about how he can maintain that connection with his players and build that foundation. Thought that was a really unique perspective. And then he also talked about the work-life balance, you know, with balance being under quotation marks. How do we work that relationship in when we have a family, we have young children, but we also have a football program to run. Not always the easiest thing. And Tony really articulated his plan and how he balances that out and how he believes that living a family first life is the most important thing for himself and his staff. So it was a great conversation. I thoroughly enjoyed it with Tony Schiffman.
Definitely another good one, Rob. I love the questions. I love the ideas that you bring out. And let's take a peek ahead to next week. Who's up for us on Culture OS next week?
Well, we're going to be looking at Brad Spencer, the head coach of North Central College, the three-time national champion. Brad is one of the best offensive minds in Division III football and all of college football. But at the heart of it, he's a tremendous leader. He's a personal friend of mine. I'm a North Central grad myself, and Brad and I knew each other back when we were students. So it's been fun to kind of see his maturation process from GA to wide receivers coach to offensive coordinator, now taking the helm at North Central. He leads with his heart. He's a very smart, pragmatic mind. He dives into some great details about the fire within and how to stay calm in crucial moments. It was probably one of my favorite conversations just because I have watched him reach the apex of Division III football so many times, and it was such a joy to talk to him. So Brad Spencer of North Central College is going to be next, and we're super excited to bring him on.
Rob, I appreciate all the work you're doing in this series. It's been tremendous so far, and I know it will continue to be. So again, thank you for all the hard work you've put into this.
Keith, it's my pleasure, and thank you for the opportunity to do this. I hope people are enjoying it.